I love being able to talk about brands that I use on my podcast, and I've personally been using this one for over 5 years. Our sponsor, Nature's Way Alive, women's multivitamin gummies are specifically formulated for women. They contain 16 vitamins and minerals, including the full B vitamin complex to help convert food into fuel, and have the added benefit of supporting healthy hair, skin, and nails. With just 2 delicious gummies, Nature's Way Alive women's multivitamin gummies are an easy way to feel like your best self every day. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/Gemma10 and use code Gemma10 at checkout for 10% off any Alive women's multivitamins. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th. As someone who works for themselves, I am always looking for ways to make my life a little bit easier. One of those things is Canva's AI-powered Canva presentations. When I need to make a deck super quick for a meeting or a pitch, I just start with a prompt, describe my presentations in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. It is the perfect way to get a head start on my slides. It's incredibly easy to learn and use, and they also look incredible. I can then customize based on my favorite style and content, and there we go. Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Shaving is honestly such a hassle, but sometimes it just has to be done. Actually, what if I told you about an alternative, one that was quick, easy, and left you smelling surprisingly good? Nair's new line of sensational hair removal, shower and body creams gets the job done and smells delicious. My friends were all over for dinner the other day, and I had this bottle of their oat milk and vanilla body cream. Of course, we had to try it out, and we all agreed. The results were pretty spectacular after only 3 minutes of application, and it actually smelled delicious, like vanilla goodness. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online. Hello, and welcome back to The Psychology of Your 20s, the podcast where we talk through some of the big life changes and transitions of our 20s and what they mean for our psychology. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to another episode, a bit of a spicy episode, a bit of a dramatic episode, because we have a special guest for a topic that I've wanted just to discuss for a while. So, special guest, would you like to say hello?
Hi, my name is Elvis Gleason, and I am Gemma's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, you are. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on.
Yeah, honestly, anytime, Gem. I love talking to you.
Oh, alrighty. I like talking to you as well. So, for those of you who don't know, I started this podcast after our breakup. Did you know that?
I did know that.
You did know that. Was it obvious that it was a bit of a success is the best revenge kind of ploy?
Yeah, I was thinking about Avril Lavigne and the song Skater Boy.
All right.
And, you know, in that song, you basically have the skater boy who does punk rock and the girl who does ballet. I'm the equivalent of the girl that does ballet. I am the ballerina.
Oh, all right. Okay, well, we'll get to the bottom of that. That's a beautiful analogy to introduce to my... to introduce to my listeners. But essentially, we dated for how long? Like
year and a half
when we were at uni.
Good days.
I don't know about that. 2019 to 2021.
I like those days.
Yeah, I do as well. I like these days good as these are great days as well.
These are great. All the days are great days.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a positive outlook on life. Thanks for bringing that to the show, Elvis. Appreciate it. but essentially after our breakup, which was, I would say, dramatic for some part of it. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
You can plead the fifth if you don't want to say anything.
No. I think breakups, when you really love someone, it's always really hard to break up. So dramatic's a pretty good word for it.
Yeah. But we've already decided I didn't do anything wrong. So hence why I decided to bring you on, right?
Yeah. For reference, Gemma's a saint.
Oh, thanks. That's me. I'm a saint. So after our breakup, I was like, I need an outlet for all of the things that I'm thinking of and to be able to process this, like, I wouldn't say traumatic, but this like event that I've been through. And so I started this show. So for those listening, you have this man right here to thank.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. So basically the premise of the show today is discussing whether
exes can be friends. I feel like there are two kind of minds about this. Some people are like, absolutely not. They are only there for some part of your life. They are a completely romantic force in your life. And once you detach from them, there shouldn't be anything left. Like, you shouldn't be going back because that romance never fades and it's unfair to your future partner and to yourself. That's like the first one.
Mm.
And the second kind of category, I guess, or school of thought is, well, this person understands me really well. We had a deep connection. Is it really worth throwing that all out the window just because we don't basically have sex anymore? Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, look, my attitude to this, I think, is really dependent on the reasons you break up.
Yeah.
I think if you're in a situation where you break up because of life circumstances or because you're going different ways, I don't think that's any reason not to keep in touch. I think if there's been an event or something's happened in the relationship, something traumatic that really means you should have distance from each other, then you should. My attitude generally is look at the context, look at the situation. And I think, when I think of us and why we broke up, I guess I feel we were just going in different directions, and I think we're both people that absorb a lot from our surroundings, both the joy and the stress and the grief. And I think we came to points in life where our situations were so stressful that we just couldn't do the things that we love doing together anymore.
Yeah, kind of jumping the gun.
Sorry.
What a beautiful explanation, though. I think I remember most of that similarly, some of it differently, but I agree with the overall sentiment.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a deep dive into our relationship. We're going to do a post-mortem.
Nice.
And we're going to do it for you. So you can listen and perhaps decide whether you and your ex should be friends. Would you say we're friends now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say we're friends. We're not best friends.
I'm in your room doing the podcast, so alrighty. I'd say that, yeah.
Okay.
To get to this stage is really healthy.
I do agree. And I think that we feel a lot of respect for one another. Mm. And the hatred that maybe once was there at some points in the breakup are no longer. So let's do a deep dive. I've got some questions prepared for both of us to answer. Some of them were submitted by the listeners as well.
Shout out, listeners.
Shout out, listeners. I wonder if anyone cares about this. Maybe not.
Who knows?
It's good for us though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was keen.
You were keen?
Yeah. I love talking about this. I love remembering.
Yeah. We can listen back to this when we have kids, when we get back together, right? Because that's what we're doing.
I think that's the plan.
Yeah. Already. Okay. So first off the bat, simple question. How did we meet, Elvis? How did we meet?
What a story.
It is a really good story.
Okay. So picture this, right? It's my 21st birthday. And I'm in Canberra with my mum, where Gemma and I went to university. And it's quite late. Kokomo's is a restaurant. It's a bar, pretty vibey, open pretty late. Mum and I decide to go there for dinner. And Gemma is our waitress.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great dinner. And towards the end of the dinner, Gemma comes with a little birthday cake for me. It's like an ice cream type thing.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, the pandan cake.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
And there's a candle, and Gemma basically did that of her own accord. And throughout the night, like, Gemma and I we're chatting way more than you'd normally talk between, like, your waitress and the person eating with their mum. And I think my mum notices that we're getting along pretty well and that we're, like, having a conversation in the middle of ordering food.
Yeah.
So as we're...
What does she... Yeah. So what does she do? Yeah.
As we're leaving, my mum smiles at me and says, "I hope you don't mind." And I said, "Don't mind what, mum?" And mum says, "I left a $20 tip and your number on the receipt."
That she gave to me.
That she gave to Gemma. So how did we meet? Thank you, mum. Shout out,
mum. Your mum got you your first girlfriend.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It wasn't going to happen otherwise.
Yeah. So. Thank you, mum. And from my perspective, I remember this. I was really late for work that day. Also, I just have to say, it is kind of a meet cute. When we broke up, I remember one of the things I was so sad about was I was like, oh, that was such a cute story. And I can't tell it again because, you know, when people ask like how you meet when you're dating, you can always whip out this really cute story. But and now I get to tell it to like millions of people. So
exactly.
I guess it comes around in the end. But I was working there during uni. It paid terribly. And I can say that now because the restaurant has since closed down because someone got stabbed there. So there's a bit of a sidebar. But I was working and I was running really late for work that day. And I remember it was like the worst winter of my life. And I was super miserable. I was kind of just like having the worst time. And I walk into work and I see Elvis and his mom sitting at this booth. And I was like, whoa, that guy is really, really attractive. Like, I find him really attractive. And I was like, I really hope that he's in my section and I get to serve him. And my boss was like, you know, mad at me for being late. And then was like, oh, these are your tables. And one of them was you and your mom. I got in trouble because I was going over there to talk to you guys so much. And we talked about, like, this was like, I was his waitress. And this isn't like in the US, like, I don't know, like where there's like tips expected. Like the waitress just gives the food, takes the order and like leaves. And I remember we were talking about poetry. We talked about Sylvia Plath. I wasn't eating, like I was his waitress. We talked about how I'm not sure if I wanted or had one. And how, how your dad had died. Do you remember that? Your mum really was straight out the gates with that one.
Yeah, mum doesn't really have a filter.
She doesn't. She's so lovely though.
I love her.
Anyhow, so then I get this tip and it's wrapped in the receipt, but I don't want to share the tip with my colleagues because I am not a saint. I was selfish and I was poor. So I took the I took the tip for myself. I stuffed it in my pocket. And then like any good 20-something-year-old, later that night, me and some of the other people in the bar went out drinking and I ran out of money on my debit card. So I pulled out the tip to pay for my drinks. And as I pulled out the money, I was like, oh my God, this person's number is on the receipt. And it said to be continued. And it was your number and your mom had written it to me. And I found you on Facebook and messaged you. And then we went on a date. And then Bar Rockford. We got really drunk and .. And then we dated for a year and a half.
Yeah. I mean, that's all she wrote.
To be continued.
Did you know it was my mum that had written my number?
Yeah, I knew it was your mum.
Calligraphy too nice.
It was really nice handwriting. And also I was like, it's really bold. I knew it was your mum. I knew it was your mum. I don't know why I knew it was your mum. I guess because it would have been weird for you to ask me out, but it would have been equally as weird for you, and it was, for your mum to ask me out on your behalf. Really good birthday present, though.
Yeah, without asking me.
She didn't ask you either? Well, she was a really good matchmaker. Obviously, we got along.
Yeah, my mum always jokes that she got me a girlfriend for my birthday.
Great, I love being reduced to an object.
Gemma.
The best. I'm joking. So what were your first impressions of me and vice versa?
Yeah, so I think when we spoke about Sylvia Plath, she's just my favorite poet.
Mm.
And I really liked having someone that I could actually talk to about that. I really liked the fact that was like a connection because it really is like very raw poetry. And I think it was the fact that like you'd written an essay or something. And I was really curious. I was like, wow, I wonder what that essay was. I wonder what you wrote there. And I wanted to know more about you. I think the date after that date, I was like, wow, like we get along really well.
The date or the dinner? Your 21st or when we went out for drinks?
I think when we went out for drinks.
That was such a good date.
That was a really good date. I think
yeah.
I just realized we had just so many like common touch points. And, like, we had, like, so many things we could talk about. And I remember sitting on that date realizing just how much you cared about stories and narratives. And for me, like, my favorite thing at school was always English class. It was always, like, creative writing.
Mm.
And just to meet someone who had that passion for, like, understanding people's stories, people's experiences, and looking at how they put that into art, for me, that was, like, wow, like I could really have like a deep connection with someone over this.
Mm.
And I mean, like what followed was definitely a crush. Like I had a huge crush
on me.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You definitely did.
I did. I remember just feeling like, oh, like after the date, I was like, I wonder if we're going to talk again. I hope we do. Because I was really keen to see you again. And I remember like checking my phone being like, oh, like, is she going to reply to this message? Like, am I being funny enough? I would take some time to think of like something funny to say and try and like remember things we'd spoken about and then try and put that into like little bite-sized text messages as like little in-jokes, little references. And so I was pretty invested and I wasn't sure whether or not that was reciprocal. So I think we were driving up to Canberra. It was me and Mum and we were talking about it and we were having a laugh about it. And I was like, oh, Mum, like, I really hope she texts me back and I can see her again. Oh. And Mum was like, just call her. You have her phone. And I was like, Mum, that is so bold.
Wait, like, did you call me?
No, I didn't because you ended up texting back.
Oh.
But I was like, well, if Mum said this is good and Mum's been right about a couple of things with us so far.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Then maybe I should. And
I'm so glad you didn't. You're going to give me the ick. I'm sorry. I'm so glad you didn't call me.
Irene's only bad move, maybe so far.
Well, she was born in what, the 60s. So back then they didn't have Facebook. Back then it was different.
But yeah, you ended up getting back and I think we hung out again. And I remember that night I was like lying on your bed and I was like, I wonder if this is the last time I'm going to see you.
Oh, that's so sad. It wasn't though.
It wasn't. But I did actually feel, I don't know, I felt lucky. I felt like happy that I'd met someone that I could actually like relate to like that. And I was really keen, I guess, on keeping that going. And the fact that, like, you know, it wasn't just one date and that we'd seen each other again. That was my first impression. And I don't know. I don't want to talk too long on it, but what were your first impressions?
That was so flattering. Thanks.
Well, we did date for a year and a half. I mean,
yeah, I forgot that you actually liked me for some part of that, for all of it. My first impressions of you, well, I already said I found you really attractive, but I remember we went on that date when we went to Bar Rockford. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I had like 3 shots of Fireball before I went on.
I had 2 shots of vodka.
Oh my God. Look at us. We were a match made in heaven. And I was like, this guy could be really weird. But I went on the date and I remember I hid in the bathroom because I didn't want to be there first, but you had gotten there early and got us a table.
Mm.
And I remember something similar. You were such a great listener. We just talked for hours. I remember looking at my phone and being like, whoa, it's like 11 p.m. and this guy is so interesting. You'd just gotten back from Singapore.
Yeah.
And you'd lived there. You were living in like a youth hostel. You were homeless at the time. Do you remember that?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'd just come back from Singapore. And I was very slack on getting my accommodation sorted for the next semester at uni.
That's the story of your life. I'm sorry. That you never have a stable place to live for very long.
Yeah. Mum says, I think her saying is that I live on the seat of my pants.
That's true.
Or something like that. But I find it's all part of the adventure.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have anywhere to live at the moment. Well, you did technically. But and I was like, this guy is so adventurous and so interesting. And then we had a really nice date.
Mm.
We slept with each other on the first date. I feel like
It was 2019.
Yeah. It was before COVID. So, and anyhow, that happened. And then I had a mental breakdown, not because of you, because of something else.
Mm.
And I think I kind of ghosted you for like a week. And I went to Queensland because I was which is where my family was from. And I went to Queensland because I was so like, was really struggling with something else. And I was like, I don't have time for this guy. I need to focus on myself. And then you messaged me and were like, and it was really funny. And I replied to you. And then you were like, would you like to get coffee? Oh, we were meant to go see a movie. I canceled.
Lion King. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I canceled because I was going through it. And we went on out for coffee. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I was like, I'm going to go into this coffee and tell this guy that I'm not keen because I don't want to lead him on. And I'm dealing with so much stuff. And then I went to coffee and I was like, holy shiz, like this guy is so attractive and like we get along so well. Maybe I'll just see how it goes.
Mm.
And then I remember actually the day, like our fourth day, I was like, I think I was stubbornly being like, I don't want anything. I don't want commitment. I don't want a thing. Mm. And then on our fourth day, I was like, started to panic and was like, shit, I better tie this guy down. Like, I really like him. And then I think I asked you if you wanted to be my boyfriend. It was like, it was the fifth day.
Yeah.
It was by the river.
I remember it was by the river. Yeah.
And you were mad at me because we went on a date and all my friends were there. Do you remember this at the soup kitchen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. At this was the soup kitchen date. Yeah.
At the co-op. But I just wanted you to meet my friends. And then you were like, do you remember what you felt?
I don't think I was mad. I think it was just a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because I like turned up and like all of your friends were there.
I didn't know that was going to happen. It was one of my friend's birthday and we used to all go out for like free because we were like poor uni students. We used to go to this co-op and get free dinners on like Tuesdays. And then I was like, well, cheap date, we can go and get dinner. And then like everyone I knew was there. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, I think it was more just a bit of confusion where I had gone into my head, okay, we're going on a date. And then like all your friends were there. And I guess I was like, oh, like, you know, like, are you just inviting me like as a friend to this? Like, are you like not interested in wanting to like steer it towards like more of a friendship thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I think like we played with like some roller chairs outside and we played chess.
Oh my gosh, that was that night.
Yeah.
That was so fun.
That was really fun.
Okay, can I just say this is like we played chess on this table that they had and then for Christmas, like 2 years later, I bought you that table. I went to the co-op and do you remember that? I bought it for you.
We gave each other really beautiful gifts. I gave you the story journal.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We were very good at that.
We were good at gifts.
Okay, so why did we fall in love? And when did we fall in love?
When did we fall in love?
I remember when I fell in love with you.
Yeah, I actually, I remember the night.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was the island? Oh, fuck, I gave it away. 3, 2, 1, Coomerong Island. Oh, fuck, Coomerong. Yeah. That's actually what it was called. I just forgot the name. Okay. Coomerong Island, and we were driving back because we thought we were going to miss the ferry, and we were listening to Taylor Swift, Red.
Yeah, should I get into the story?
I feel like we've done a lot of stories, but like, give me the synopsis, give me the few points.
I think this is actually the most beautiful story of our relationship.
You can tell it then.
I love this story.
Okay, go for it.
So I guess we were a couple weeks in, and
no, we were at least a month and a half. We were doing it. We went on a trip together.
Yeah.
We met in August. We met on your birthday, so July.
Yeah.
And then we went on this trip in like late September, early October, because it was my sister's birthday the day that we got back, which is the 1st of October.
Yeah.
So it'd been 2 months.
Okay. I guess like it felt like a little funny because the early stage was like, oh. But definitely by that stage, I think we just built enough trust to be like, let's go on a trip together.
Yeah.
And so we did. And I'm from regional sort of coastal country Australia, and I was like, oh, do you want to like start off at mine and let's go up on a trip to this island?
Yeah,
so we went to like this old country newsagents and we're looking for CDs because we didn't have an aux cord
because we were taking your mum's car, and that was the day that your stepdad fell in love with me.
Yeah,
to this day he still messages me.
He messages me too.
Oh, great. But we were, yeah, we borrowed your mum's car and we were looking for CDs.
Yeah, and we bought Taylor Swift's Red. And I think, like, the start of the trip was just us singing along to that CD. Really beautiful weather. Like, I think it was, like, uni break, like, mid-uni break.
Yeah.
So spring had just started. We were really enjoying just some sunshine. And, yeah, just listening to this Taylor Swift album. We got to the islands and we decided to go to Huskinson.
Huskinson, it's like the cutest town ever.
Yeah, really cute small town.
Yeah.
And I remember dinner there. We just like had like this at like this small little restaurant and there was like a really beautiful sunset.
Yeah.
And yeah, like as you said, my father, he passed away when I was maybe 3 years old.
Mm.
And the song that was actually played at his funeral was Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Mm.
And throughout my whole life, my like sort of way of relating to my dad was looking at rainbows. And as we were watching this sunset, I sort of just looked into the sunset and I saw there was a double rainbow.
Aww.
Yeah. And
I didn't know that. That's sweet.
I think in many ways it was like for me, like my dad talking to me being like, hey, like you can do this, like believe in yourself. Like this is something that's okay with me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, after that, we went to the Huskinson's Pictures. So
it's
we
like
had
this
dinner.
Old timey, like Gilmore Girls esque
yes.
cinema. It's so cute.
Little like fairy lanterns, all different colors.
You can Google it if you're interested.
Yeah. So we went there and watched Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
And
and the homophobic lady in the back. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The hecklers at a movie is something you really only see in like these really country Australian.
Yeah,
towns.
Literally there were hecklers.
There was like, I remember this one scene. It's that kid, and in Downton Abbey, one of the female leads, she's like, I have an announcement to make. And this 9-year-old kid stands up and yells, she's pregnant.
In the movie.
Yeah, like in the middle of the movie. And then she says, I'm pregnant. And the kid just turns around and says, I told you all.
It was quite funny.
I was laughing until I was crying.
It was hilarious. That was one of the best days of my life.
That was incredible. And I think,
yeah,
then we drove back to the island and...
Who said I love you first? Because we said it this weekend.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's contested.
You said it.
So I said, I love this about you.
Oh.
I think first. But then it was in the car at the Airbnb on the islands after all of that, like, lovely dinner, lovely picture theatre.
Double rainbow.
Yeah. I think we were both in that place where... I think that's where... We said we loved each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really sweet. And then we drove to the beach in the dark. Do you remember that? And we thought we were going to get murdered. Yeah.
And we had the bottle of wine.
Yeah, we drank a whole bottle of wine. It was really, really fun.
I think that's where we fell in love.
Yeah.
I think it was that moment and that experience.
Yeah.
Where it was like, wow, we like genuinely have these really beautiful experiences together. And I loved being in them with you.
Oh, that's really, really sweet. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking AG1 because I've been on a bit of a health journey. I wanted to take better care of my immune system and my gut health. And with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're essentially absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, probiotics, all that good stuff. And it's really great for your nervous system and your immune system. It's just one simple micro habit that you can incorporate into your daily life with big benefits. It's super lifestyle friendly. And Athletic Greens is also a climate neutral certified company, which we absolutely love on the show. Right now, it is time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with a convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look after your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gemma. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gemma to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Okay, so we've gone through how we fell in love, yada, yada, yada. Why did we break up?
Oh, why did we break up?
Yeah, a controversial one. I think I might go first on this one.
Yeah, please.
We were really in love. Like, really, really in love. I remember this time we survived, like, I know this doesn't sound like much for those of you doing long distance, but like 3 months long distance during the early days of COVID because my mom made me go home. And I don't know if you know this. I was actually, after lockdown, I was going to break up with you. Because I was like, I can't do this. I'm so stressed. And then I saw you. We reunited. And I was like, all the feelings came rushing back. And it was just like the most amazing reunion. And then you lived at home back, like probably like 3 hours away from me for a little while. And there was like this night where you drove. I really wanted to see you. And I was in Canberra and you were on the coast, which is about 3 hours away, 2 hours, 3 hours. And I was really wanted to see you. I missed you so much. And you're like, I'm sorry. I'll come next weekend. And I was like, alrighty. And then I went and hung out with some friends. And then you messaged me like 2 hours later and were like, hey, I know you're feeling really lonely. One of our friends has like left you a little gift in your mailbox. And I walked out and you were hiding behind the mailbox and you surprised me. And it was really nice. And I was like, oh my God, this person, he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to buy me earrings and flowers and champagne. And we go on really nice dates. And we like had really great friends together. Mm-hmm. So all really good things.
Gemma loves surprises.
I do love surprises. I love surprises. I also love gift giving. I feel like we were really evenly matched on that, right? Like we really cared about giving each other things.
I think we're invested in the relationship, and it's a really nice place to be when you just love someone so much that you want to do things for them. And when you understand someone that deeply and you know someone that deeply, you can do things and like create experiences for them that are really special just to them and are really unique to them. And I think we both acknowledge that, and like doing that, we could actually just give each other things that we knew that no one else could give each other.
Yeah. But I do think there was a period where we started fighting because our lives were going in different directions. I think I was thinking about this the other day. We're both quite chaotic, motivated people, right? But we're different types of chaos. And I think when to be in a long-term relationship with someone, either you know, only one of you can be chaotic, or you have to be the same kind of chaotic, or neither of you are. And we were very different types of chaotic. And there was a lot of other things that were going on, and we were fighting heaps. You're smiling like it's, are you in pain or are you agreeing?
No, I'm just remembering.
Oh yeah, the good times. I think it started getting to the point where we both realized that we needed a different support network rather than each other. And I needed more time from you, and you needed more time from me. And we couldn't give each other that because we were on our own paths and we were busy people and we had a lot of other challenges. Like Elvis runs his own business. He's an entrepreneur.
Sparkling unemployment.
Sparkling unemployment, as we call it. And that was another thing, I think. I need stability, right? And you're someone who's very willing to take a risk on different things, which was like stressful for me because I was always worried about whether you had money and whether you had a place to live and you know that you should get a job. And I know now that
I still have none of the above.
No. But here's the thing, is that I care, but I don't have to care as much anymore. Whereas then I really did have to care because we were together. And it like was stressing me out. I was like, I just want someone who's stable and who has like a job and whatever, which is like, ridiculous now that I look at it, because, you know, I don't expect that from someone I'm dating anymore. Well, obviously they need to be employed, if I, bare minimum.
Sparkling unemployed.
Yeah, you have you technically have a job.
Yeah.
You're self-employed.
We can say that.
Yeah. And we just were on, it just became very obvious that we were on two different life paths, and you were going into doing your thesis for philosophy and I was going into my final year of uni, and it was just too much and it was too chaotic. Why did we break up? That's my explanation. Also, our mental health was both of us were like deteriorating very quickly.
Yeah. I think, as you said, at different stages in the relationship, we were dependent on one another. And I think that worked when both, like at least one of us had our stuff together. But when neither of us had that, then there was no grounding to the relationship. I think that was really hard. I think, if you could glean from the story, we had some pretty high highs and some pretty low lows.
Yeah.
And I think that's just because we are both very passionate people who really do feel the world.
Yeah,
I think that was why we fell in love, because we could really feel the joy of the world together. And I think it was a real moment of change for us, where we were both growing up. We were both starting to begin our process from leaving university to being adults.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of growing pains in that. And it wasn't made easy by the fact that we just... Gemma was at my family house during the Australian bushfires.
Oh, that was so stressful.
And so we'd just escaped the bushfires.
Yeah, we survived a natural disaster. It didn't necessarily make us stronger.
COVID was just starting.
No, it just it started the year before, but we'd just been through like the major lockdowns.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So we've just gone through the year of COVID, and I think the frustration, and I think the frustration that drove us to break up was the fact that we couldn't have the experiences that we loved having together anymore.
Yeah.
I think the reason we fell in love was for moments like the coast trip, where we would be completely free, adventuring, wanting to just do things and like find the little stories and like the little, just the reason we fell in love in the first place was our love of stories and those narratives and
an adventure
and like, adventure and, to, and meeting people
like
who had
when
those.
We went to Melbourne, like we would go to Melbourne quite a bit and do these long road trips, and like I would make you listen to podcasts and you would like want to listen to rap music like, and it was all nice, you know, and we would go to markets and buy like cheese and bread and go play chess with random old men in like the library, and like it was adventurous and we couldn't do that anymore.
I think our lives just became really cluttered with a lot of other stuff, and it was frustrating not being able to have that time for each other, to make time for each other, to make time for these experiences. And I think that was why we broke up, because it was this I wouldn't say it's resentment. I think it was just the situation where we couldn't do what we loved doing together anymore.
Yeah.
And it was just painful to be with each other knowing that we had that ability to do that and we had the ability to have those experiences, but we just had so many like life things to do. We didn't have the freedom of university anymore. We had like serious commitments that were starting to build up. And without having that time, it was just hard knowing that we were growing up, and in that process of growing up, we couldn't have that. I think that really like childlike, really just fun, just fun. Really fun relationship.
Yeah.
Like we were so goofy.
We had so much fun.
We were really good. We were real goofballs.
We were goofballs.
We were goofy. We were silly.
When we broke up, my parents were so sad.
I loved your parents.
They loved you. Your mum loved me as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the relationship is also still there. Like, I told you, I Zoomed your mum and we, like, had white wine together maybe, like, 8 months after we broke up.
Oh, yeah, you stayed with my parents recently.
I stayed with them, yeah.
Which, yeah, anyhow, so obviously, but that was, like, we broke up. I broke up with you, even though it'd kind of been on the table for a while. We kind of knew it needed to happen.
Yeah.
You had told me, like, 3 months before that we needed to break up at some stage. Do you remember that when you were, when I was in Melbourne?
That wasn't 3 months. That was 1 month before, I think.
No, because we broke up before my birthday. Yeah, 2 months, month or two.
Yeah.
Month and a half. Yeah. And we knew it was happening. We knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then I broke up with you, and I didn't feel a thing for like a month.
Yeah.
It just like, I didn't feel anything.
I felt it pretty immediately. I've had two sit-down showers in my life. That was one of them. I was listening to Gemini's song, was Cruel Summer
by Taylor Swift,
and so I had a sit-down shower listening to Taylor Swift.
No, it's also Forever by Charlie XCX.
Yeah, that's our ongoing song.
That's our breakup song. But we I think it was interesting. So we broke up and I went into like the most chaotic period of my life, in terms of just like I was so busy and I was always hanging out with my friends and all my friends were single. So you felt it straight away. You got a head start. And then I didn't feel it for like 3 months. And then you started dating someone else. And that's when I really felt it. I think that was the really hard thing of being like, this person isn't mine anymore. And I was so mad. And I was like, why am I mad? Like, we're not together. And that's when I was like, oh, because I wish we were. And because I can't let go. And we also, we chatted a little bit after our breakup. We didn't do the no contact thing. Was that a good idea? What do you think?
I don't know. I guess my attitude is life just pans out the way it does. And you really only understand these things in hindsight.
Yeah.
I think the way we broke up Yeah, it could have been better. We could have been kinder to each other. I think there were some really hard moments that were spotted throughout the way. But the way I think about it now is we were young, really struggling to cope with the pace that life was going for us. I think we were young people, really burned out. And it's really hard to be your best self when the situations are just terrible that you're in.
That's true.
And yeah.
The next question. Yeah, I would say actually before I ask this, I think our breakup was a bit horrendous. I don't think I acted my best. Like I said, you processed it in a healthy way early on, and it took me a little while to get there. And then I just kind of like exploded emotions everywhere. When did you stop loving me in that way? I know we still love each other as friends, but when did you stop loving me?
It's an interesting question.
Mm. Do you want me to answer first?
Yeah, you go first.
When I stopped loving you?
Mm.
I stopped loving you when I started seeing but that's when I stopped loving you, was when I started seeing someone else, and I kind of was like, oh, there are other people out there that I could care about and fall in love with, not to the same extent that I loved you, but in a similar way. But I think, yeah, I don't know. I think that's when I stopped loving you. I don't really remember. I just like, one day I woke up and I just didn't love you anymore. And can I be honest, it was kind of a relief because it was so hard to love someone that much and not be able to be with them. And then one day I just wasn't anymore. After like months of being like, I don't want to love this person anymore. I don't want to care about them so deeply. And then like a switch kind of flipped.
Mm.
What about you?
I think I never really did stop loving you.
All right, that's weird.
No, but
I think for me,
right, like you just like for me, love is like an experience you'll have at a certain time.
Yeah.
It's an emotion you'll feel at a certain time. And I think for me, the idea of for when you stop loving someone isn't that love changes. I think for me, it's the frequency of the feeling of love changes. Okay. Because when I was with you in the relationship, I loved you every single day because that was how often we saw each other. like every day there was like those experiences where we loved each other. And I think what happened with the breakup is just those experiences came to me less and less. But there'll be still moments, I think, for me where I'll have like a moment of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I might be walking around a place where we used to have picnics, and I'll just sort of remember that feeling. I'll be like, wow, I really did love Gemma.
Yeah.
And I think love is it's a really hard concept to unpack. And I think, you know, I don't really understand my own experiences of love enough to say I like my love for you changed at this point in time or that point in time.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's just that feeling that sits with you of being in love that just sort of became more and more distant to the point where, yeah, now I'll have moments where I have memories and I remember it. But from a day-to-day perspective, like that doesn't enter my life or like just doesn't like evoke in the same way that it used to when we were together.
Yeah. Why do you think we're able to be friends now? We're obviously friends. And I guess part of that is like, can exes be friends? I would say we can. We're obviously friends.
Mm.
But why is it that we can be friends?
I think we can be friends because the maturity is there. And I think the understanding is there that we didn't break up because either of us did anything like really awful to the other person. I think we broke up because we realized that what we were doing in life, it was pretty incompatible for us to have the relationship we wanted to have. And the maturity is accepting that just because you can't have one kind of relationship with someone, it doesn't mean you can't have any kind of relationship with them. And yeah. I think we're able to be friends because we can recognize that based on what we're doing, I don't think we could have the relationship that we used to.
I agree.
That doesn't mean we can't find ways to have a different relationship where we still get to have, I think, a lot of the parts of each other that we really enjoyed. Mm. But we try and just like set boundaries so that we don't like get so involved in each other's stuff that like the negative parts that made the relationship difficult come out.
I agree with that. I think the other component, I think I've said this to you before, I think we can be friends because I went through and I don't know if this is the same for you, but I went through like a really almost like violent period of detachment from you where I really didn't like you and I really didn't want to speak to you and I really didn't want to see you. I think that was for the right reasons. And we went through that period and that allowed me to kind of no longer see you as my partner, right? But to see you as firstly as someone in a negative light, and then I slowly kind of recognized the things I did care that I did really like about you. I think the other reason we can be friends is because we're not sexually attracted to each other anymore. I no longer see you as someone who I would be like sexually interested in or romantically interested in. And I also, I think we've learned the lesson that right now we can't be together for the many reasons that we discussed. So I think the boundaries is one reason that we can't be together. The fact that I am not as sexually attracted to you anymore. And the fact that we went through a period of, I disliked you. Did you ever dislike me? You can say if you did.
Yeah. I mean, there were moments where I was definitely like mad, like really viscerally mad. And I felt just a lot of unfairness, I guess. And
yeah.
Yeah, I think dislike is a good word because I think you can love someone and you can dislike them at the same time.
Like children.
Yeah, like children. Or for siblings. Reference, I don't have any children.
Oh, I didn't tell you?
That I know of.
Yeah, we have a secret baby.
Yeah, Carmichael.
Yeah.
Show next week.
Yeah. That was an inside joke.
Yes.
No, it's Spirit. What was it? Babelina Cocolina.
Frozen Cocolina.
Frozen Cocolina. That was going to be our baby's name.
Yeah.
Frozen Cocolina.
Inspired by McDonald's.
Yeah, we used to do McDonald's.
When are we getting the McDonald's brand deal on the podcast?
I don't know. I don't think ever. I don't want that to be associated with this show. It's a pure space. It's
our child. And you don't want them on the show.
You're obsessed with McDonald's. We used to go all the time. I could tell you. Can I tell you guys what I would remember your Macca's order?
Okay.
Large Fanta. Large fries.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger with no patty,
yeah,
and then an apple pie.
To date, that is still my order.
Yeah. Do you know what my order is? Don't even try.
I won't.
Yeah. You terrible man. Okay. So I think that's established. In our situation, being friends worked, right? Like, but I don't think that is every situation. Why are you smiling at me?
No, I'm not smiling.
Yeah, well, you are.
Okay, I am.
But I think that...
I just think it's funny, like, just chatting about the relationship now.
Yeah, I think
we've never really debriefed to, like, this level of detail.
Yeah, we're debriefing for the podcast listeners. It's kind of nice, right? We have an audience.
Yeah.
We can't, like, yell at each other if someone else is listening. It's like they're our mediator.
Yeah.
But I think in our situation, being friends worked out, but I wouldn't recommend it for everyone. I think I was able to... I think we have a relationship that allows us to love other people and to be just equally, like, just as invested in our new relationships. Not that I'm dating anyone, but you are, as we were each other. And our relationship doesn't get in the way of that in any ways. But I will ask the final question.
Wait. I just want to shout out the audience for being the psychologist of our 20s.
Yeah, of our 20s, me and Elvis's. Oh, that was such a funny joke.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do have my moments.
Yeah, you do, definitely.
Few and far between.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. Few and far between. Do you ever think we will get back together?
Could at least ask me for like dinner first.
Oh, all right.
No, okay. If this episode gets 1 million listens.
What, we'll get back together?
If this episode sells 1,000 tote bags.
Yeah, shout out to the merch. No, I'm serious. Do you think we'll get back together?
My understanding, right, is I have spent a long time thinking and worrying and stressing about the future, because the nature of my life, trying to start a business, trying to do a whole bunch of things at once, is always, I don't know, it's hard living in your head. It's hard living in a world where you're always worrying about how well something will go or whether or not anything else will come to fruition. I've just come to a place, I guess, in my thinking that I try not to make any comments on the future.
Okay, he's pleading the fifth.
Yeah, so no, I'm pleading the fifth in a roundabout way, in the sense that...
You don't know.
Not that I don't know, it's more that maybe I do know, maybe I don't know.
So you don't know. That's what...
is that what I don't know means?
Yeah. Maybe I do know, maybe I don't, means I don't know.
No, I could just be being, like, mysterious.
Alrighty. I think that we could get back together, but that we would have to be different people. And I don't see it happening anytime soon.
So, yeah, I need full-time employment, a house.
You don't need a house.
Oh, okay.
You just need to get your life together. Not that you don't, but... Well, you're not trying to win me back. Like, we're not getting back together anytime soon. Fuck, this has turned into a completely different episode. Can exes be friends? I guess
no,
that's not what we are anymore. But, like, no, I don't think we will get back together anytime soon. Maybe not ever. I think that we had a joyful time. I think that it would be hard to recreate the circumstances in which we did fall in love and which we were able to have that amazing relationship. I also think that we are on different paths, like similar paths. We both are very creative individuals and like to run our own businesses and all those kind of things.
I'm launching a new podcast.
You're launching a new podcast. Alrighty. So Elvis is, I guess we can be, yeah, no, but I don't think we will. I don't think we will, because there are things that we need to sort out. And I think also we know that there's probably someone better out there for both of us. And I can't wait to meet her or him. You know, I can't wait to meet that person that makes you really happy. And I hope that you feel the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can get back together and then break up just so you have like another podcast.
All right.
We can call it the philosophy of your 20s.
All righty.
The sociology of your 20s.
Should you get back with your ex? That would be the latest, the next episode. No. No, I'm
the physics of your 20s.
Okay, well, we're just saying things that start with P.
Okay, sorry.
The phrenology, whatever. But yeah, anyhow, I just think this was such a great episode to do. Thank you for coming on. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, of course. Always love chatting. I love remembering. I think this has been really nice.
You're nostalgic. That's what you are. You're very sentimental.
Extremely sentimental.
Yeah, I know. Little baby. But yeah, anyhow, I hope that answered your question. I don't think we did answer your question. If you were coming to this episode being like, can exes be friends? I think the answer was pretty obvious by the title where it said featuring my ex-boyfriend that we are obviously friends. But I think that there are circumstances in which you can and you can't be. I guess we have some things to think about. Did not expect some of those answers, Elvis. I thought we were on the same page, but... Oh my gosh. Alrighty.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think it is really circumstantial based on whether or not you can be friends with your ex.
Yeah.
I think, like, if someone's treated you really badly, you have to do yourself the favor of...
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
Cutting out, yeah.
But we can still sit here and laugh together.
Yeah.
And I think there'd be something really special that would be lost if we decided to cut ties completely.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I imagine you at my wedding.
Yeah.
Like I do. Well, you're a really important part of my life. You helped me out through a lot of things.
Your little sister still has my Animal Crossing game.
That's true. My sisters also did love you. Anyhow, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, Please make sure to leave a 5-star review if you feel called to do so on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Give Elvis a follow on Instagram.
Yeah, Elvis Gleason. ELVISGLEESON.
Okay, that's good. Spell it out. And if he does end up launching that new podcast, I'm sure I will plug it at some stage. So if you want to listen to his voice more, subscribe. If you want to listen to my voice more, subscribe to this podcast, maybe. And thank you so much for listening. Dos. Dos. You can do both.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week with another episode of The Psychology of Your 20s. Ugh, our 20s. The drunk dialing, the forgetting to wash our face at night, and yes, neglecting our teeth. Don't do that last one. You only get one set of teeth, so you need to protect them. Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface and locks in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. Pronamel also makes a new mouthwash, which helps to repair acid-weakened enamel beyond brushing alone. Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy your toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com today. As someone who works for themselves, I am always looking for ways to make my life a little bit easier. One of those things is Canva's AI-powered Canva presentations. When I need to make a deck super quick for a meeting or a pitch, I just start with a prompt, describe my presentations in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. It is the perfect way to get a head start on my slides. It's incredibly easy to learn and use, and they also look incredible. I can then customize based on my favorite style and content, and there we go. Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.